Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Podcast One's Women and Money, Susie Orman. Plus comedians Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher. With Gina Grant on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, if he seems less angry, it's because he's still rolling on Molly from Coachella. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on Monday. You get it on, man. And thanks for tuning in. And we really do appreciate you finding somebody to turn on to this podcast. That's your job. We'll do our job over here, and your job is to turn people on to the pod. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Get on your knees, scumbag.
Oh.
Very sad news.
I miss Arlie Ermey, boy. All right.
I like your peak lapel, very sharp jacket you're wearing today.
I was going to say, dress up for success.
Thanks. Yeah, I had to go do a PragerU. Nice. And I always tell you, wear something nice.
Wear something pragery.
From the chest, yeah, from the top up.
What did you espouse upon?
I did the commencement speech for the graduating or whatever, the seniors or whatever. You're going into the world. Graduation
speech. The graduating class of 2018.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I sort of took a deep dive into the language of losers.
Which, an anti-commencement speech?
Which
so here's all things you shouldn't listen to and live by.
Well, it's very interesting, and I never really thought about that the subject. Obviously, I have been thinking about it. The language of losers. It's language that's created to remove the onus from you,
right? No accountability.
And once you remove the onus from you. Now, the onus makes you, there's got to be some NFL draftee named Onus Wilson or something like that. There's got to be an Onus.
There's an Onus Wagner, but that's, 100 years
ago. I thought
ago.
That was a Honus.
It's a Honus, yeah.
All right. But,
it's a soft H.
So, Onus! Onus! We got to get David Allen Greer to yell at Onus. Onus means change.
Right.
So
when something happens and the onus points your direction, then there must be some change. If the onus is pointing another direction, then there's nothing you can do.
Right.
And I think we all have those moments in life that involve us sort of, what are you going to do? And then involve us that are directly. So if
the
you
subtext
then
is, this is all not my fault because dot, dot, dot.
If you check then the language, then the language is directs the big arrow, the big onus arrow, it directs it. So directs it. So obviously when the aforementioned Dylan says, I should have triple checked, but he didn't single check, he's taking the big onus arrow and he's facing it away from himself. Right. And when you say, you know, I tried my best or whatever that is, you're shoving it. And it's weird, like it's
window of negligence.
Yeah. I've weird little go rounds I have with people, like, oh, I was doing a pod with, I don't know, it was Drew or Gargus or whoever, Phil, the lab, and on the bio it said that the show that we're plugging started at 9 p.m. but it started at 10 p.m. but the bio read 9 p.m. So the guest would say, like, yeah, it's starting at 10 o'clock. And then later on, Dr. Drew or Garris or whatever go, that's right, 9 o'clock on A&E. And after the show, I said to Gary Smith, I said, hey, Gary, what's up? Because he's saying 9 o'clock, he's saying 10 o'clock. And we figured out it was 10 o'clock. And I said, the bio says 9. And Gary said, but I told Drew verbally 10. And I said, that's wonderful. But on your bio that you handed him, it said 9. And people tend to read the bio.
You think of other things, you're moving along.
Well, especially if you verbally tell them an hour earlier, and now you're looking down the bio. Who's going to believe, no, I had this conversation? If you told him that verbally, then you'd think he misspoke verbally because it's written down here. Mm. 9 o'clock. Who amongst us would not just read it?
Of course.
Gary doubled back and said, but I did tell him 10. And I said, that's fine. And I don't doubt that you did, but you handed him a piece of paper that said 9. So let's focus on that. And again, it's taking the onus arrow and going, all right, now it's pointed directly at you. And you go, yeah, let me move it a little bit to the right because I said 10 o'clock. Right. Okay. That's fine. I'm not sure what the end game is.
Right. And for everyone listening, he told you, like, yes, he did. That's good. But when you're doing, when you're talking, having a conversation, let alone interviewing someone, trying to direct a show, and we got to read, come, we got to break, come, whatever. You're thinking ahead. You're in the moment. You're not remember, like, oh, what time? It was an hour before, or hour after. One of the, like, you're not right. Time for that. The paper is kind of sacrosanct.
And what you would like to do is avoid this happening again. And the only way to truly avoid it is to make sure that arrow is facing your aorta. So that's all. So that was a lot of the talk. And again, very interesting. There was a new one in the language of losers.
Oh, boy, a new entry.
It's very interesting. Boy, first things first. Fondelier spat out a language of loser, and then he dove on the ground like it was a grenade, and he was
like
in this platoon and he
back.
Dove on it. And I said to something like, I said to him, like, something was screwed up. And he went, next time I'll double check. Now, he downgraded from the Dylan triple check. He'd gone to the double check. But I said, double check, Matt? You didn't check at all. And he went, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. I'm so used to just spitting it out.
It's good to see that corrected in live time.
There's a nice nuanced language of losers that you can hear as well. Some of it is subtle and very well crafted and dovetails nicely.
Sure. It's been adopted an entire lifetime.
We had a guest in here. His dad flew 777s commercially, and I said to Dylan, what airline did he fly for? And he said, I don't know the exact airline. And I said, you don't know the exact airline, or you don't know any fucking airlines? Like, the exact one would suggest that you did something.
You narrowed it down.
Yeah. I have Pan Am.
Yeah. Before the merger.
Mohawk.
Yeah. I have Freedom Air and Tower Air. Yeah. No, exact means you did something. Mm-hmm. I don't know means you did nothing, which is what you did do. Now, it's not a bad thing. It's a little off the wall question. Like when someone says his dad flew commercially, I don't really look at it as, oh my God, this is a dereliction of duty that
this
you did not find out
everywhere.
Right. No, it's fine. My thing is I'm interested in what airline he flew in just because I'm kind of curious. And the answer can be, I don't know. I'll check. Yeah, let me check on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact. So it's interesting that the word exact is now slid into these spots that it's totally unnecessary because it's the opposite of exact. I don't know the exact suggests there was some vetting.
You've narrowed it down.
Right.
Yeah, you're almost there.
But you've done no vetting. So you've taken the arrow. And by the way, this arrow wasn't even really pointing at you because I was just asking on this particular one. But you've taken the arrow and you pushed it aside a little bit.
It's like one of those guys in the corner. The arrow is spinning and no one knows where it's pointing. Yeah.
That's
up,
right.
Down.
Do we ever talk about people who start excuses with this isn't an excuse, but? Mm-hmm. And then they can just give a dissertation on everything that they've done that they're excusing themselves from?
I'd like to help, but I shall never, ever help. So I was talking about that. I had a interesting sit down with my nephew who came in here on Friday to, you know how I always sort of marvel that no one in my family ever goes, what's going on over here? And maybe we could get in on some of this or check it out. Or
you got quite the thriving business.
Sit in a race car and go, mm-hmm. vroom, 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 with the, you know, move the steering wheel back and forth. Anything. It's weird to me how they're all here, they're all alive, and they're all in the neighborhood. And so I had this weird, feeling, which is my middle nephew Finn came in, and I introduced him to everyone, and everyone had this weird look on their face, because no one has ever met anyone in my family.
Was he never here?
He came here. Mm-hmm. On Friday in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I walked him around and I introduced him to people. And it felt weird to me to go, this is my nephew, or this is my dad, or this is my mom, or this is my stepdad, or this is my sister, or this is my anybody.
It's a very small form of bragging.
It's a weird.
You're proud of your accomplishment.
No, it felt.
No?
I felt as strange as me going, can I borrow a tampon? Like, and then I'd go like, wait a minute, I don't think I've ever said that.
I saw that coming.
Like, I felt like I was in the ladies' room and I tapped you on the shoulder and went, can I borrow a tampon? I felt, that's what, this is my, it was nephew, could have been sister, could have been dad, could have been mom, could have been stepdad, just this is my, that you have to walk around when you go here, you go to the other shop, there's Sean over there and Tom and Rob and everyone's working on their stuff. And I felt weird going, this is my nephew. Because everyone just looks at me like, you don't have, they all died in that dirigible accident, right?
The 40s? Like,
I'll be honest, when I met him, I was shaking his hand. The only thing going through my head was, but why? why?
What's the end game?
What's going on here?
What's the story?
He has decided that he's 19, and instead of walking onto a construction site and pulling ivy off the side of a building in Silver Lake, like I did at 19, he'd like to walk into Corolla Digital and see what he could learn.
Interesting.
So I'd had a bunch of sagely advice for him that I liked. One of them was, look, we make documentaries over here. We're on the other side, and productions and things that seem pretty cool. They're not. It's a whole bunch of transcribing, and it's a whole bunch of work, and it's a whole bunch of unglamorous everything. It's a whole bunch of hours, and it's tedious as hell. It's boring as hell. It's not. And furthermore, you're going to be making coffee and emptying trash cans and going on lunch runs and going to Staples and picking up materials. Now, couple of things. That's good because it means you will be on the job site, so to speak. When I dug ditches, which is I just happened to get unlucky. And the very first job I showed up on had 4 months of intensive ditch digging to do at the beginning. It's weird. I've never worked on a job site where it's like, we're digging ditches for 17 days in a row. Like, you would either get a backhoe and dig the ditches, or you get a caisson rig and dig the caissons or whatever. This was a hillside. It was Dr. Fagenbaum's house in Silver Lake, and everything needed to be dug by hand, and it was months and months of that. So I just dug. Now, I was saying, like, well, what what part of carpentry or construction is just sitting in a hole and digging? Well, I was absorbing everything while I was in that hole. I was absorbing like how people interacted and what these guys did and what that guy, what the dumpster guy did, what the cement pumper did, what the cement truck did, how it worked with the pump and the truck and the pumper and all this stuff and rebar. Like, I was absorbing everything, number one. Number two, I don't deserve to be anywhere but in that hole because I don't know anything. Right. Well, why should I be up top putting on crown molding? Yeah. I don't know how to do crown molding.
You didn't start at the ground level. You started below the ground level.
Right. Yeah. Subterranean. But you can learn a lot inside that hole. So I hear people all the time like, well, I thought I was going over to this production company to learn how to make rom-coms. Instead, it was all getting coffee and going on coffee runs. And everyone does that thing. It's like, oh, that's an intern working for free. You're supposed to be, what do you think you're going to be down with the boss in the office and he's going to be sitting Indian style on the floor with you every day with a dry erase board explaining, hey, I wanted to pitch you some ideas for some upcoming projects. Of course you're getting coffee. Yeah. You're the lowest but you're inside.
Yep.
You're returning inside. You are through osmosis absorbing all the conversations, all the discussions, all that is going on, and you don't even know it. And that's how important that is. And this notion of like, you got free labor, they're supposed to be learning something, and they're going on Starbucks? Run, screw that.
Right.
Sorry.
No, on top of that, well, I think we've mentioned before, but it behooves you to do that and do it efficiently and do it well because people notice. If you're the guy that always kicks ass
absolutely.
And shows up and you always get the order right, whatever that thing is, whatever that meaning
from
is,
within.
Yeah, then you're the first guy they're going to think of, hey, that guy kicks ass at that. Let's give him a shot.
So I had two things with him. First, little business. Blinds galore for this half of the show. Go to blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. Marcia Clark Investigates. Thursdays, 9, could be 10. No, 9 o'clock on A&E and Castrol Edge. You can tweet Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Edge challenge for your questions.
So did he say, thanks for the warning, Uncle, I don't think this is for me? Yeah. Or was he excited?
No, I said, look, when I was 19, I was, you know, riding a motorcycle, carrying a shovel. I was looking around going, I don't know what the future is, but it doesn't look bright. Everyone around me was like, come on, we're getting high and we're going down to the reservoir. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds like fun, but I still want to know what I'm doing when I'm 30.
Past tomorrow night.
I'd like to own a house one day and have some dental insurance. And everyone's like, why? You know, come on. Don't be scared. They called me grandpa. They literally called me grandpa because I would go, what is the plan? You know, like I'm going to go take a groundlings class. I go, what is my plan? And I just said to them, look, you're 19. You could be running this place at 25, and that's young. Or you could not. I don't know. There's no guarantees in terms of your talent. I'm in show business. I have no guarantees either. Nobody has any guarantees. But
tell me about that, Grandpa Carolla.
You start focusing now at 19. God knows what you could be doing in your mid-20s. I mean, show up at a fledgling business like we're doing Chassis Media over there at 19. By the time you're 27, God knows.
And that feels like a long time to a 19-year-old for obvious reasons, but that flies by in a flash.
What we wouldn't give.
Yeah. Right. So I said,
Brian wouldn't give.
At some point, we happened upon Gabe, one of our newer guys. He
Good
was
guy.
Out in the parking lot.
So not sure that is.
And I said, Gabe, this is Finn. And I said, Gabe, what do you think of Finn? And he went.
He hissed at him.
And he went, he's hot. His jeans are tight. And I said, no, not sexual. I said, no. What do you think of him as employee or work or whatever? And he went, yeah, it seems nice. Like, I don't know. And I said, that's right. Then I said, hey, Finn, guess what? Whatever Gabe thinks of you will be exactly what you've earned. Mm. If I go to Gabe a year from now and I go, tell me about Finn. Tell me about him. And he'll go, well, he's a good guy, but he is late. I mean, he's not always not always prepared, or he does show up a little late sometimes. Or
gotta tell him things twice.
Sometimes we tell him stuff to write stuff down. He says, I got it, and then he doesn't have it. Whatever it is, he thinks of you will be exactly what he should be thinking of you, because right now, he's right in the middle and does not care.
Neutral.
It can go up and go down. Mm. And guess what? Gabe, same with you. Harass this guy thinks
safe,
of you.
Gabe.
Total dick. Asshole, man. First day.
Well, it's funny because you go negative, but it's not safe. You want Gabe going, you want Finn going, Gabe's awesome.
Gabe's
that
man.
Guy knocks it out of the park. That's Johnny on the spot. So you can go any direction. Either way, we'll all decide solely based on how you perform and how you act. Mm-hmm. That'll be it. There's some kind of weird thing where people get the wrong idea about, no, not people they see every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. Until the word gets out there. That's the old man's
at
nephew.
At work.
That's the
right.
old man's nephew. Be cool. Be cool.
So
hey,
I gave,
Finn, looking good, buddy.
Up top.
So we went to Gary's wedding.
Yeah.
So much fun.
It was great. We had a great time. He did a very, very nice job.
Lovely wedding.
And lovely.
Big surprise on the dais, on the podium.
Dr. Drew.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Me either. Well,
Drew officiated.
Yep.
This
he was actually got a laugh out of the crowd right
away.
Yeah,
he was Drew, really going Drew, for his A material.
Drew did a great job. We had a great time. It was nice. It was like it was a perfect size wedding, not too big, not too small, and also didn't involve everyone piling in and traveling somewhere. Yeah. Like the ceremony's over. All right, the church is on the outskirts of town, and we're having the reception on a barge. Got to go down to the pier.
And it was something that was supposed to be something else. It was a cool event space that was for event spaces.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It looked really cool.
I'm always scared that we're going to go from the wedding and then have to pile
second
in
location.
And go somewhere else. So that was awesome. Drinks were flowing. Everything was good until we got to a little controversy with the meal.
What?
Now,
we had controversy, Brian. It's just because we all used the wrong forks.
Okay.
We all had to get a new fork.
I was sitting there with Mark Garagus talking some Kaepernick. Oh. And at some point, food showed up and Lynette was not at the table. And I got the steak. The steak was very good because it was like steak with like sauce on it that was very enjoyable.
It was a solid steak and standard that would make about 85 of them. You know
right.
I mean?
Oh, yeah. Very solid. Very solid. Very solid. And then Garagus, like, I don't think Garagus filled in his order. So it was kind of catch as catch can as what he was getting and ordering or whatever.
Kosher meat.
And then at some point, a veggie plate showed up.
Ooh.
And I said, what is this veggie plate?
The veggie lovers.
It looked like a puck with bean curd on it that was had all the squashes that you hate.
Polenta or something?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, like it's
a
just.
A disc of polenta.
It was a polenta stack.
It was a stack of nothing. I didn't taste it, but it had to be bad. So, and I knew it was bad because it's squash.
It looks like it's leaking.
Squash is basically, zucchini and squash is sort of tasteless, but you can slice it in a way that actually makes it negative taste.
Okay.
Like if you ate a Dorito, you'd be even. Mm. It actually takes away
taste. Flavor.
Like it removes flavor from your life. It cancels out flavor. Like baking soda does to flame,
right.
You know? Like zucchini is bad and squash is bad, but if you do it in a... You cut
julienne.
It thin and wide long. It will remove the last good thing you ate will be removed from your mouth and your brain.
Steak? I accidentally ate some squash.
Yeah, now I'm back to zero. So I was eyeballing it and I said, all right, well, that's no bueno. And then somebody said, yeah, your wife ordered the veggie plate.
Ooh.
And I was like, I know the woman well. Now, I am tuned out. But I am in the proximity, and I've never heard her order veggie anything ever.
Do they assume that Susan Pinsky was your wife? Is someone else sitting next
nope.
to you?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Lynette ordered the veggie plate.
Doesn't sound right.
And I said, I have eaten thousands of meals with this woman, and she's nowhere near, you know, her mom, full-blooded Italian, her whole thing was salami and sausage and sausage and salami. Yeah. Like, that's all it was, bread and sausage, you know? So I'm like, I'm now saying, while Lynette's not at the table, no, she didn't order a veggie plate.
The woman I know.
She ordered a steak or chicken, but not the veggie. She would never order the veggie plate. Well, that's what she ordered. That's what we got her. I spent a lot of time in this zone of life, you know, just kind of going, here's what I know.
The picture's out of focus.
It's
kind of going in and out.
And someone else is explaining, no, that's what happened. I'm going, no. And then Garagus was kind enough to eat, I think, the veggie plate and a piece and the chicken or something.
Oh,
but either way, I said to Lynette later on, I said, there was some, I think Lynette got a steak or something, but I said, there was some confusion. Somebody thought you ordered the veggie plate. And she said, I did order the veggie plate. And I said, why would you want a puck of bean curd? With with some zucchini that somebody had, you know, extruded on top of it. And she's like, I thought I'd get the pasta. And I said, yeah.
Like a pasta prepare or something?
That's pasta, though.
Right.
That's not the veggie plate. And she's like, sometimes you get the pasta. And I said,
she was rolling the dice.
I mean, I would really investigate that. That's pretty risky. And she's like, I wanted the pasta. I was like, well,
pasta?
you needed to ask or talk about it.
Oh, no.
And she says, like, well, sometimes you get the risotto. And I said,
that's great.
That's true. Sometimes you do get the risotto, but not this time. And now, then it started me thinking. One is two things. Well, actually, one is I feel like if you order the vegetarian, your chances of getting some savory pasta that's covered with butter and cheese
better,
or something that you would enjoy is less than 10, really less than 10%, number one. Yeah. But number two, let me float this notion of, it's the same argument I'm going to make with the veggie lover's pizza, which is, all right, you're vegetarian and you don't want to eat the meat. Good, eat cheese pizza. Mm-hmm. Cheese pizza is delightful.
Yeah.
Plain cheese pizza when done
options.
Right is awesome. And every time I go out to dinner with Sonny, he'll always order like a penne pasta with ton of butter and Parmesan cheese. And I'll pick across the table at it. And I'm realizing no matter what we've ordered, like a stuffed pork chop or something, there's really nothing better than just the butter, the Parmesan cheese.
Geschmack,
and now I start thinking, why not make that the vegetarian offering?
That's right,
why?
Default.
Who said we have to take a bunch of vegetables, liquefy them, and then chill them into some sort of shape, and then put a bunch of junk? Why not just have some excellent pasta? Because I would even think about ordering the excellent pasta over the chicken, for instance, depending on the mood. You can have some Brussels sprouts on the side or whatever it is, but how about some killer pasta? Just lots of butter and Parmesan and whatever, Brian.
I love that idea. I think the problem is that, especially in the large scale venues, the weddings and the whatnot, that also triples as the, not just the veggie option, but the vegan option.
The gluten-free
and the
option.
Gluten-free option.
So it has to
satisfy a bunch of masters, which is why you get that weird, you
puck.
Know, yeah, the weird stuff, the squash.
Yeah, well, you make a good point, although I wouldn't invite anyone who was gluten-free to my
oh, good, my cover
wedding.
Hasn't been blown.
Yeah, you're right. It has to serve three masters.
You can't have,
if it's
here's a
just
option.
Vegetarian.
Right.
Because, man, that pasta
that
would just
good.
It'd be cheap. It'd knock it out of the park. It always satisfied. Always satisfies.
Yeah.
Lynette did do something at the bar that blew my mind and has changed my life, and I would like to give her full credit for it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she wants this credit. Mm. I was talking to somebody, and I was standing with her, and she ordered a glass of wine, no big deal. And out of the corner of my eye, after the bartender poured the red wine, I could have sworn I saw him pour a can of Coke or some Coke in it. And I said, I couldn't have seen that. There's no way that happened. It must be stroking out. It's hot out. I don't know. And I go, Lynette, am I crazy? This is going to sound insane, but he poured Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? Oh, it's great. You got to try it. Here, taste this.
Yes.
It's delicious.
She's
like,
told me.
it's super Italian.
She can't be trusted. No, it's not.
She
cannot be trusted.
She is Italian, and she says it's Italian, and that's the story we're sticking with.
Red wine not fattening enough. Do you see what I live with?
I don't know about that.
It was really good.
Now, you saw her in a tight dress.
Very.
Does she ever
she
put
amazing,
an ounce?
Not
that's crazy.
An ounce. The woman is a live Barbie.
I know, and now what I'm trying to lose weight. It's like the hardest thing in the world. You have no idea. You need a partner in crime when you're trying that diet.
Oh, she is not your partner.
Okay, there's Italian, like Capicola is Italian, and there's Italian like Gabagool. Like, there's an Italian that is not quite Italian. The situation, he's Italian, but
wow, Brian,
Coke and wine.
I don't know. Look it up, Max Pata.
I see it as a Spanish thing.
A Mediterranean. We'll
you
go with
racist.
Mediterranean.
Yeah, called a Kalimoto.
Mm-hmm.
Shh, Brian, shh. A what
parts
now?
Red wine and cola.
A Kalimoto?
Yeah.
I like it.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
I like it. Hey. We like it.
I don't know the exact pronunciation.
Look, Laverne from Laverne and Shirley used to mix the milk in with the Coke.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's actually pretty gross.
Pretty gross.
I agree. Well, anyway, God bless her.
You know, my cousins of the South do on a really hot, schwitzy, humid, horrible day. They make a nice, refreshing.
They don't call it schwitzy. I'll tell you that much.
Not the Southern one.
They take a can of a bottle of Coke and pour salted peanuts into it. And just drink and eat that.
I got the lowdown for my Hungarian grandfather many years ago when he would tell me about how refreshing buttermilk was. I'd sort of start doing the math, which is just because you don't want any more doesn't make it refreshing.
You're satiated.
It's not crunching.
Right. Yeah. There's a fine line between no thanks. Because he may not label an IPA refreshing, but I'm still going for a second IPA, whereas the buttermilk...
It's the difference between resigning and retiring.
That's right.
Like, you're done either way.
Yeah, like,
one is
very refreshing.
One is like, honors.
Refreshing means I've had a thimbleful and I'm done. Yeah. All right, let me tell you about Blinds Galore. BlindsGalore.com. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to every detail. That's right. They're the blinds experts, over 15 years of experience and over 2 million windows covered. They do everything at blindsgalore.com, right? From the home, and you get online, you compare, you save, compared to those big box stores. We have them here, I have them at the house, we have them at the kids' room, they're in the edit bay, everywhere. I have a window, I have Blinds Galore blinds hanging, and they'll take care of you. They're a great company. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. Check out blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. These guys are good. They'll send you samples. You pick out the color you want. You give them the size. They make it up. They send them to you. It's easy to set up as well. You can do it very easily by yourself. Blindsgalore.com. All right. Susie Orman is... going to be calling in a minute or two.
She's reached icon status.
With you, for certain.
Oh, my God. I have loved her since I was a kid. She's amazing.
While we're waiting for that, can I just...
Please.
I don't want to brag, but I requested a couple of songs that went over very well at the wedding.
You sure did.
Very well. Early, I think it was the second or third song played.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
This is good. This is a good time.
Oh, you went to the DJ and requested.
I did. I said, how about a little Land of a Thousand Dances? And I wasn't slurring my words too bad at this point. So I know what you're saying. And the whole crowd danced.
What was the other song here? Was it Bryan Adams?
No.
Oh, you didn't request that?
Return the Mac. The place went nuts.
A lot of people dancing.
I can't believe we just glossed over the first song of the evening.
Which one?
The first song that the DJ played.
The dance?
That everyone sang and danced to except for the one person who happens to be in the studio.
I wanted to leave because it's my policy to leave when Bruno Mars comes on.
Uptown Funk kick off the party.
Yeah.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, that was not coincidence.
I'm sure it wasn't. All right, Max Zapata, update your screen, please. All right, we'll see where Susie Orman is, and we'll try to figure that one out. I hesitate to get into too many other subjects because I feel like the second I get going on something,
she's
just going to pop up. She's on line two?
Yep.
All right. Susie?
Adam?
How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. You living the life on the island you've chosen to semi-retire on?
You know what? I am living the life. I'm so happy to say. Right? So, you know what to do. That's when you're good with money.
Yeah. Every Thursday on Apple and Podcasts, Podcast One, you can check out Women and Money. Let's talk about that. Things have come a long way for the ladies because now it seems like they're doing better. Are there more women going to college than there are men? I feel like their test scores are higher. Like, I don't know. Is there this chasm between men and women? Does that still exist financially?
Yeah, it exists big time because men have it right when it comes to money. Right. They have no problem saying no if they mean no. Women say yes out of fear that somebody won't like them. So women have a whole different outlook on money, Adam, than men do. Women give, you know, of themselves more than they give to themselves. Women think money is for everybody else except for them. And they'll take care of their parents, their spouses, their plants, their pets, everybody. And at the age of 50, they finally say, oh, my God, what about me? Men do not have that problem. Men have it right. Women have it wrong. So women take care of the household finances because the household's everything they love. But when it comes to investing and all these other things, they still don't do it.
Well, how much of this, so it's interesting, if you listen to a guy like the Canadian academic,
Jordan Peterson,
he'll say, well, part of the reason women don't get paid as much as guys is they're not as assertive as men, like by nature. It's men are more by nature, I'm going to go into the boss's office and demand a raise, where women by nature are like, I'm, there are plenty of guys that are that way too, but statistically, more women are wired that way. Does this have something to do with that? And then is the plan to unwire it?
It's not to unwire it. It's just to get women to recognize it. Women's nature is to nurture. A woman has the ability to give birth. A woman has the ability to feed that which she has given birth to. So a woman does everything for everybody else. So now, however, with a little thought and a little bit of education, a woman needs to understand that she has to put herself first, especially she needs to teach that to her little girls, her daughter, because we don't want to keep passing this silent message of less down from generation to generation. And he's absolutely right. Women do not go in and demand more money. Women say, oh, okay, I'll do that. Oh, okay, you can cut my pay so that somebody else doesn't get fired. Women absolutely do not say what they are thinking, and they do not do what they are feeling.
I agree with you. There's no place for them in the workplace.
Yeah, that's where we're getting at.
So, Susie, what? So tell us like some three or four good little sort of nuts and bolts tips that women or men could do to change the direction of this ship they're on financially.
Well, do you know how this Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement has now just taken off?
Right.
And women are finally finding their voice to speak up. And the reason that that's important is that if you think about it, the reason that all those women, in my opinion, found themselves in a situation that was really horrific was because they needed money. They needed the job. They needed the role. They wanted that position. And so therefore, because of money, they absolutely compromised themselves. The real thing that women need to understand, men, but really women, that you're never powerful in life until you're powerful over your own money, how you think about it, how you feel about it, and how you invest it. And now that you have found your voice to stand up for what's right, or at least many women have, maybe now you can also find your financial voice.
Who,
so the main thing that women have to understand is, actuarially speaking, we live longer than men do. I'll forever think we're killing them off, but that is besides the point, Adam. Right? But we do live longer than they do. So women need to, right here and right now, start to learn about their investments, what to do, and make sure that every possible thing, not just about investments, do they have a will, do they have a trust, do they have all these things in place today to protect their tomorrows, because their tomorrows are going to be one most likely where they have to walk into the future by themselves.
Well,
so
you know,
so many things that they need to
I've seen it time and time again. A lot of guys will marry a woman who's 5, 8, 10 years younger than them, and then we die 6, 7 years before them, and there's a nice 15, 20 years of the guy not working or not around or whatever he was doing financially, he's
it's gone
in the ground. Yeah, my feeling is in terms of men living longer, women living longer than men, I don't need to get up. You know, average woman, 83, average guy, 77. I don't need to get up to 83. I need them to come down.
Yeah.
To 77, or we can like meet at like 80. Like, as long as it's even, I don't care what direction we're going.
A catch age.
That's right.
A nice catch age in the middle.
Yeah, we'll meet at a catch age, exactly. Like a catch weight for fighters. Susie, what
have you ever noticed about men, Adam, that when a man's wife dies, he's usually remarried within 3 months to 6 months after she has died.
Well, to be fair, he was dating while she was battling cancer. She had a 2-year battle with cancer. Yeah. You know, the doctor didn't do anyone any favors when he said she's got about a year to live. Exactly. He's like, all right, let me do the math.
But it's very true. Men need women. Women can do everything pretty much on their own. It's very interesting how independent they can be.
So yeah,
they just need to find that independent streak earlier on when it comes to their money.
And so what is the guy wants to, bang someone who's, 25 years his junior. That's what factors into in the second marriage. But what are some things, like, I have no idea what to do with the stock market. Right. What can lay people do with the stock market? How do you approach the stock market?
All right. So one of the upcoming episode Women in Money podcast is investing. Like, the podcast talks a lot about emotions and things like that with call-ins, but I just did one where you all should be wishing and a hoping that this market absolutely goes down, especially if you have 20, 30, 40, or 50 years until you need this money. All of you have it absolutely wrong. You feel wealthy when you see the market go up and up and up, and you look at your 401k, your retirement accounts, or your investment accounts, and now you're feeling really rich. And then all of a sudden, the market starts to go down 700 points in a day or whatever it may be, and you freak out, you stop investing, or you sell. If you have time on your side, the biggest mistake you will ever make is to sell or come out, of the market, or stop investing. As the market goes down, the prices of the shares of what you're buying goes down. When you invest, you get to buy more shares. So the correct way to invest to take the risk out of the market is by dollar cost averaging into this market, where you take a specific sum of money every single month and you decide on, are you going to buy an exchange-traded fund, a mutual fund, individual stocks, whatever it may be, and you keep doing that month in and month out, no matter what, and hope that this market goes down. That's the correct way to invest.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Maybe I don't think most financial folks are happy about Trump and tariffs and steel and aluminum and China. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think the whole thing is absolutely ridiculous, number one. I think the tax act that he just passed absolutely will be the doom of us. With an eventual $2 trillion deficit, with artificial intelligence coming on, do not be surprised by the year 2030 if you see a 25% unemployment rate. So there are things that are happening out there that people really need to get involved with their money big time. Because if you think Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or anything is going to be able to save anybody, it's not, Adam. So it's really, really important. But, it's not just about investing. Adam, do you and the people at that table with you, do you have in place right here and right now a trust and a will and an advance directive and a durable power of attorney for health care? Do you know which type of retirement accounts are best to have, a Roth IRA or a traditional, a 401k or a Roth 401k? What type of mortgage should you get? How should you hold title to it? You know, do you do a 529 plan? Should you have variable whole life or universal life insurance? Should you have life insurance at all? What about reverse mortgages? It's all those things.
All right, Susie, let me answer those one at a time.
Difference in your life.
I pity the fool that sits next to Susie on the next Southwest flight.
And ask her, hey, what do you think of the stock market?
Well, Susie, I will tell you what I did. I cannot speak for everyone else at the console, but I realized that my strengths were doing comedy and perhaps generating income, but that my weaknesses would be paying my taxes in a timely fashion and keeping on top of all the things you've just discussed. So I found some reputable people a guy said to me, when I was 33, do you have life insurance? And I said, no. And he said, oh, you should get life insurance. And I said, I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody, and I don't like my parents. Right. But I said at a certain point, which I say to everybody when they ask me, you know, well, you want to get life? I go, what do people in my position do? Right. And he went, they have life insurance. And I said, well, then let's just do.
They don't.
What people do. They don't.
They don't. You just got sold a bill of goods. Do you know that if one of the biggest mistakes you will ever make with your money is to buy a whole life, universal, or variable life insurance policy? Which one of those three did you buy, Adam?
Which one of those did you get suckered into?
I have no idea, and don't ask Lynette. She'll dump coke all over your paperwork.
That is right. So if nobody is dependent on you financially speaking, the fact that you would buy life insurance is the worst advice you have ever been given. Do you know that if you bought a whole life insurance policy, that insurance agent made anywhere between 80% and 90% of your first year commissions?
All right.
I hate that person.
So if your premium,
well, the first thing out of my mouth was, I don't need life insurance.
$500.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I should ask.
You have twins now, though. We should point out. So he does.
I do have. I have kids now
and a very large dog.
Yes.
Yeah, but when he bought it, he probably did not have
That's
it.
That's probably true. Right?
No, I did not.
But the case is. So do you? But here's the other thing. Kathy Griffin was on my show once, and she had up her manager at the time to see how was he being honest or not. He was ripping her off so bad I can't even tell you.
Wasn't
revealed it all on the show.
I'm sorry, wasn't her ex-husband doing that as well?
Her ex-husband did it, and then she decided, okay, and then she went with a manager, and the manager was also ripping her off.
Yeah.
Because we tend to trust all of these people to do everything with our money. Are you kidding me? What happens to your money, Adam, affects your life.
Right? Hold on, let me write that down.
Not anybody else's life.
Yes, I agree. You're right. I'm going to go live like the Unabomber.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to get a Sears gardening shed. I'm going to put it on some acreage in Virginia, and that's it.
We should all hope to be so successful someday that someone's ripping us off in a management position.
Yeah.
We can shake our
fists.
That's
the dream.
Yeah. Susie, the podcast is called Women and Money. It's every Thursday. It's on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. We're a little behind it here, Susie, so I'll tell people to go to SusieOrman.com if you'd like and get caught up on really an important subject that I think people are intimidated, including myself, by.
No.
And now more so.
Obviously, Adam.
Thanks, Susie. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah, I don't know anything, but that's what I said. I said, I don't have kids, so what do I need life insurance for? And they went, because you're rich.
Yeah, right.
And I went, okay. Right. And at a certain point, whether it's a mechanic or a surgeon, you just have to go, I don't know, what is it that you want me to do? Now, I came about my money manager in a wildly organic way.
All right. Was this a friend of yours?
I was sitting at a Nissan dealership in Glendale getting a 2-year-old Maxima, which was like, to me, is like my first new car. It was like I'm new money. I still wouldn't buy a new car, but I'd buy a Maxima that was like 2 years old and it was like had 18,000 miles on. I was like, I couldn't believe how new this car was. And I was just sitting in there and I was like in the office and the salesman's, I think his dad came in or something, and he was talking. And he said, oh, yeah, man, I just found this new money manager, this guy's accountant, whatever. This guy's dynamite, dynamite. And I love this guy and whatever. And I'm just sort of sitting there like over and I said, oh, I think I'm probably going to need a money manager. And what's the guy's name? And said his name. And I said, I think I went to high school with that guy. And as it turns out, I did go to high school with him. Wow. He was a grade above me and he was, you know, Squaresville back then. And he's like, this guy's the best. I was like, yeah, I went to high school with this cat. So to me, that's about the best endorsement. I got a unsolicited endorsement from a guy at a Nissan dealership.
So,
then turned out to be a guy I was friends with and knew since high school.
But Are you kidding me?
We shall see. All right. Let me see. I'm going to take care of a little business and we'll bring in Natasha.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you about Marcia Clark Investigates, the first 48 new original docuseries. New episodes Thursdays, 9 o'clock. On A&E, Marcia Clark delves into some of America's most shocking unsolved crimes and controversial verdicts. Each two-hour episode explores a different investigation, taking an in-depth look at the first 48 hours after the crime to uncover new revelations and angles. Controversial murder cases include Casey Anthony's daughter, Kaylee, Chandra Levy, poor girl, Robert Blake's wife, not so poor.
Are you kidding me?
Bonnie Lee. I'm not, man. Run DMC's Jam Master Jay and Drew Peterson's wife. Remember her? Poor little Stacy over there. Great stories and all done by one of the best, Marcia Clark. Marcia Clark Investigates, the first 48. Thursdays, 9 o'clock on A&E. That is Marcia Clark Investigates, first 48. Thursdays at 9 p.m. on A&E. All right, let's see. Mexipedo, what do I got on my list? I'll put Susie over there. Gary's honeymooning and...
He's doing like a soft honeymoon. A mini moon, they call it, because he wants to time it out with work. His regular honeymoon.
Smart.
Just decompressing a little bit.
Doing the honeymoon right after is hard. You're planning a vacation on top of the biggest, probably, event of your life.
That's old school, too. You don't see that a lot anymore.
It's difficult.
You leave from the brunch onto the plane.
Yeah, I don't...
It's kind of romantic, though, setting off, you know, at that suite to the car.
Yeah.
But still.
With the cans.
Yeah. All right. One more, and then we'll bring in our guests. Mm-hmm. Always good. Castrol Edge, man. You can tweet at Adam Carolla Show for Castrol Edge with your question. Do we have a question lined up?
We sure do. This is an in-house question from Kalen.
Kalen's got a new ride. By the way, Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity to break down, leading full synthetic. Yes, Kalen.
All right, so hashtag Castrol Challenge. I just recently got a new car, and it's got these paddles on the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving down the freeway the other day, about 55, 60, and I just clicked them, and my car did a little jerking motion. And I wanted to know what those things are for so I could use them properly. I figured I would just ask you.
Well, the right should be for you to shift up into the gears, and the left should be the downshift paddle. And I believe with a lot of cars, you do them both at once. It puts you in neutral.
Oh.
Now, you got to check on your Honda, because I have no idea how that works. The thing about the paddles,
jerk forward if you downshifted at 55, right?
Yeah, it's sort of what gear are you in, and if you did it on the left, you said you did them both at the same time.
I did one of them. I can't remember which.
I'm going to go with the left one,
probably.
And that probably brought you down, and the right will bring you up. So, but a lot. One more annoying thing that Mike August does: he drives an automatic like it's a stick shift.
Oh, so many people.
So he does a lot of like, I'm in low, I'm in third, I'm in second. I mean, I'm like, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone and drive. And it's like, I like the... yes. Or commit to a manual. But yeah. So probably stay away from the paddles.
Okay, because they look like fun. I want to try and get some use.
Well, then start from the beginning. Like, start from a stop. Take your right paddle, shift it once. You should see a one come up on your dashboard, and then hit it and get it to like 70, 7,500 RPM, and then click the right one again and go into second gear.
Okay.
And so then just keep pulling that paddle.
So I should kind of know how to drive a stick before I start messing with this?
No, this is so guys like you don't really have to learn how to drive
less
a stick. It's kind of foolproof. All right. Casserole edge, everybody. Natasha out there. I will tell you guys, Santa Ana Esports Arena, Heather Dubrow, housewife, on stage with us. That'll be April 21st. That's this Saturday?
Yeah, this Saturday.
This Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We'll have it read that way. Cleveland coming up May 17th. Detroit, May 18th. Portland, Aladdin Theater, doing a one-man show there. That's coming up on June 9th and all that kind of good stuff. Seattle will be at. Lynette, this Thursday is going to be judging a swimsuit contest over at Hooters in Costa Mesa. So go say hi to her. And the Corolla Drinks is doing their comedy night. You guys can check that out at the Chevy Chase Country Club. That'll be May 3rd as well. Adam Ray is going to be there, so he's always good. This week, Greg Fitzsimmons and Def Rat Guy and Elgin Baylor and Joe Coy are all going to be part of the program. We'll take a quick break. We'll do some good sports. We'll be right back after this.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. NBA, NHL, playoffs. It's exciting. Tonight, April 17th, if that's when you're listening. How about this? I'm going to tell you about some sports coming up. The Washington Capitals and the Columbus Blue Jackets are playing. The Winnipeg Jets, the Minnesota Wild, the worst team name in all of pro sports. In fact, I talked about that with Chet Waterhouse on his very fine show. And the Vegas Golden Knights are playing the LA Kings. That's a fun one, Ace. The Kings and Vegas, what kind of crazy world is this we're living in that both those cities have NHL hockey teams, eh?
Yeah, you know, it's weird growing up here in Los Angeles because it wasn't really a hockey town. And then the Kings did a little winning and then it became
a
hockey
town. Because
Wayne
Gretzky arrived.
How do you wrap your mind around this? You know, the Kings and the Lakers had sister theme color coordinated uniforms. I like that as well. They both played at the Forum. They're both purple and gold. The purple and gold worked very nicely for the Lakers. It worked equally as nicely for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, they went with black and silver, which is weird, or black and white, or black and white and silver.
So silver, because I assume that's because that was the same time that the Raiders were playing in Los Angeles. That's the tail end of their time down here when Al Davis used... You know, as I've made the comparison, the metaphor that sort of Oakland was the old ball and chain to Al Davis, and then he met a foxy blonde named Los Angeles, and he ran away with her for a little while, and then he realized, you know what, I should get home, I should get back to the old lady, and he moved back up to Oakland. But now the Vegas thing, I don't know how to figure. I guess he's moved on to another young starlet named Vegas. But yes, that color. Where am I from, Ace? I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Have I not mentioned that to you? I'm from Pittsburgh.
It's been a while.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and you have the black and gold theme straight across.
The Penguins did the opposite of what the Kings did, which is switch out of the matching colors with their local mates. They switched to black and gold to match the Steelers and Pirates in the midst of the championship years for Pop Stargell and Bradshaw and all that. They did it in the early 80s. I love it. It's my single favorite thing in all the uniforms. Three teams in the same city all have the exact same color scheme. It's awesome. I love it. I love that. I think King should go back to that, too. But, yeah, Wayne Gretzky, when he arrived, that made people start caring about hockey. All right, Ace.
Mm.
Back to the matter that we've been working on for four episodes. And I hail producer Gary behind the glass, because he predicted, we did a little over-under before we started this. He said, you're going to give Corolla the PIVO questionnaire that you see on Inside the Actor Studio.
Why is it called PIVO?
Because the guy is, it's from a French series. It says it right here. That's why I know it. From a French series, Bouillon de Culture, hosted by Bernard PIVO.
Mm-hmm.
My French pronunciation there, and I guess James Lipton stole it from there. So I don't feel bad about stealing it from him. It says a lot about apparently what it reveals about you as a human being, and I think that's true. But Gary predicted behind the glass. He said you're going to give Corolla the PIVO question. That's not going to take an episode. That's going to take you at least 4 or 5 episodes. And here we are on episode 4 of me giving you the PIVO quiz.
He knows me.
Do you want to see? We're almost 4 minutes into this segment. Do you want to see if we can extend it into 5 and do a full 5 episodes?
Do you know,
like the Tiger? What was the thing? He had the Tiger Grand Slam that covered up 2 years worth of golf. This could be like 2 weeks worth of good sports episodes.
I like to think of myself as a world-renowned surgeon, and I cannot tell
you how I think of you too.
How long I'm going to be in surgery. I have to open up the victim. I have to see what kind of internal damage there is. I have to have somebody blot my forehead while I'm doing it. But I can't really tell you how long until I really get in and investigate.
That's why it's great that podcasting has come into your life for real. Because I, you know, the constraints of let's give Adam Carolla his own radio show for 4 hours. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Except that the hospital administrator keeps coming into to the chief surgeon Carolla and saying like, "Hey, can you wrap this up? We gotta
Wing
pay the
ball.
Bills with go do something." I'm like, "No, the point is to talk until it's time to stop talking." Yeah, and you'll make that decision, chief surgeon Carolla. Head of surgery, or whatever you call that.
Well, here's the thing with radio. Radio has a time to stop talking, and they don't really weigh in who's talking. They just have a time to stop talking. So if my mom's talking, you should cut her off at syllable number 3. If I'm talking, you should pull up a chair and just hunker down and like a blanket.
That's
and
so
just
right.
Tuck in.
One
but
size
there is
does
no
not
time.
Fit all.
It's
right.
All like, oh, it's a 7-minute break. You better cut it. You've gone over 6 minutes. That's how radio does, because radio has a format, not who's talking. They have a format.
It is weird. It's almost like, I guess there's some loose analogy with quarterbacks and what you want, what NFL teams want out of their quarterback. Do you want a game manager, or do you want somebody dynamic? Do you want Elway or Marino, who's just going to do he's going to do his thing, or do you want a guy, Alex Smith, he's going to do it within the constraints of what you provide? It's counterintuitive in a way. You want the person who can talk the longest and be the most compelling, and yet what the people, what the administrators end up desiring, or what they hire way too often, is the guy who's like, oh, he knows how to stick to the clock. What a skill.
The funniest one,
the clock.
You would hear it. If you guys drive around every once in a while, what the biggest note program directors give to any on-air talent is you got to roll those calls. Roll those calls. Roll them. Now, never mind that the most successful guy in radio, Howard Stern, spends 41 minutes on one call. That's neither here nor there, because they'll say, well, he's him. You never get to be you. He gets to be him. And then you have to roll calls. And if you drive around, you'll hear guys, and I used to hear it all the time, where they go like, hey, man, we're taking your phone calls. Have you ever had your old lady do you wrong? Have you ever been cheated on? Have you ever caught your old lady cheating on you? Call in at 1-800-776-2724. Okay. Oh, James, line one. James, what's up? Yeah, man. I came home early from my second shift, and my old lady, I walked in the bedroom, and my best friend Tim was on top of her. Man, that's cold. All right. Have you ever had a problem with your old lady? Have you ever had a situation where you've been caught? All right. We got Larry, line 7. Larry, what's going on? Yeah, man, I went camping, and I drank a little too much, and I passed out, and I was just asleep in the tent, and I rolled over, and my woman wasn't with me, and I looked around, and I saw her screwing another guy in another tent because the lantern was on, and I could see their outline. Oh, man, that's
cold. Sucks to be you. Next call.
Let's go. And it's like, That's literally because their program director told them, hurry.
Like, I know. And what is it exactly? It's like an NFL head coach going like, oh, well, you got that in. Let's just take the three and move on. Like, no, we want the touchdown. We're going for the, we want to hear more about this. All right. See, now I'm angry. But the good news, Ace, we have one more PIVO question to go. We're going to five episodes to complete the 10-question questionnaire by PIVO. We'll do that on tomorrow, good sports. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, the wordsmith slash chief surgeon here at the Adam Carolla Network, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good sports.
Good news. For the first time ever, the Adam Carolla Show is in virtual reality, live, Saturday, April 21st. Heather Dubrow is going to be joining us. Just a one-time $4.99 subscription, and you can see it on your phone or your computer in virtual 360 reality. You don't need glasses, only a web-enabled device. Experience a live show from the comfort of your own internet. It's not going to air as a regular show, so you can only see it in person Saturday, April 21st, or buy the VR download and watch on your favorite device. Get it at podcastone.com/CarollaVR. Podcastone.com/CarollaVR.